Good morning and welcome to the How You Do Anything is How You Do Everything year-long retreat. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
So our assignment from yesterday was we were asked, where do you want to be in 5 years and what are you doing now that will lead to that? Record and listen.
Mm-hmm.
So here's our first caller.
All right.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Diane in Boulder, Colorado.
Well, hello there.
How are you guys today?
Excellent, thank you. And you?
Another gorgeous day here in paradise. And
oh,
I'm doing this class, so it's awesome.
Good. What are you seeing?
Well, a whole lot. First, just a quick dovetailing on what one of your callers mentioned yesterday, the value of the do-over. Self-hate totally had me doing the how are you at home. And before the call yesterday, I was like, oh, screw that. I'm going to redo it. And I was surprised at how much fun it was. So that was a delightful process. And I just taped a new page over that one, so I didn't even have to see what conditioning had me put there for all the torture that it does. And I was like, that's maybe what I see sometimes, but that's not really what's there. So that was a wonderful
exercise. Well, it sounds like you got to see both, right? When you look to conditioned mind, this is what you see. When you look to life, this is the kind of thing you see.
Yeah, it was
a very different process.
Very clear contrast. And I guess I had a similar sort of thing because we are talking about the same process over and over. But I did the, where do you want to be in 5 years? And I thought, oh, man, how many times have I done this exercise? And how successful have I been? So that was, I saw that. And then I did.
There's another quick trip to conditioned mind.
Yes.
Right?
But I put down really where I wanted to be, at least. It wasn't all doom and gloom like it was with how are you at home. It's like, well, there's no haven for you. And there isn't mm-hmm. if you're identified. Mm-hmm. But then I did the, this is where it gets a little bit more interesting. I did, what are you doing now to get you there? And curiously, I had an auto accident and I have a brain injury that keeps me from doing my job. I can have a normal conversation like this now, but I can't do sort of higher order, complex cognitive processes. So I have space to do this. So that's the difference. I'm doing a whole bunch of things, not the least of which is this class in recording and listening and those sorts for awareness practice. And that's a phenomenal difference from any other time in my life. I feel like this time I've got the space to actually manifest or see something different, and I've got the tools to do it. So,
wow, that is
it's been an incredible gift.
Yeah, that's so huge, isn't it? Because for egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, an auto accident with a brain injury, I mean, that is just hang it up time, right? Because your life is over. You're not going to be able to do the things that you've always done. And so to realize, actually, it's a gift because I have now this opportunity to put all of my time and energy into very different things that actually speak to the heart instead of conditioned mind.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. That's one for all of us to get all the time, right? Yeah.
Yeah, and I understand how hard it was for this human to have that space while I was commuting and working and parenting. There was just, honestly very difficult to have any room for me at all.
Yes, almost impossible. And I bet it's one of those, if, you know, we could see everybody, all of us together, we're on this call, we're all in one room. How many people have found that difficult to do all of the things that we are supposed to do on a given day and have any time and energy and focus left over to pay attention to a broader perspective? And we would all raise our hands, right? Because it is nearly impossible to do. That's I suspect, why ego has it set up the way it's set up. So it everything is very supportive of ego and not very supportive of the heart. So I just love that you have that perspective. I won't describe that perspective, but that you have a perspective that enables you to see how much you receive from something that ego would frame as the tragedy of a lifetime, the end of. And in a way, ego is right. It is the end of ego. It is the end of ego as ego has been able to control your life. So it's got a point.
Yep, and I'm just thinking of all the email classes over probably the last decade or actually more that I've signed up for with you that I just
couldn't make it through.
Well, or I did, but I didn't engage in it in a way that allowed any kind of, you know, the kinds of shifts we're talking about. I wasn't able to do it, and now I am.
I can. That's beautiful. Wow. Thank you for that. And there you are in paradise doing it. This is a lovely picture for us.
It's a beautiful day. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you. Take care.
Thank you, Diane. It's so inspiring. You know, Sherry.
It is so inspiring.
Yeah. So I was looking at something yesterday, and the definition of a warrior was those who go up against the darkness, egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate, and bring the best of themselves to the light.
Mm.
You know, that in the moments when it's so overwhelming that we still choose the heart. And if we're going to what we've been talking about, what is it that chooses?
Mm-hmm.
And to honor that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, and you know, I love what Diane said. How many times have any one of us who's ever been on an interview or whatever else, where do you want to be in 5 years? And how often do we get to that same place? Well, I've done this exercise so many times, but that is the process of conditioned mind.
Right.
Consulting conditioned mind is what we do all the time. It's just ironic that it complains about itself.
Right.
And
which is the whole point, right? Because if it weren't complaining, I would actually be present to the question now.
Right.
Which would be a completely new experience.
Well, and I would project that many of us who did this exercise, at least it was my experience, went to the place of, I just want to be here. I want to be doing anything that assists me to be here more for the life that I'm alive in. And that is a silly answer from a conditioned perspective.
Yeah, but for the heart, makes complete sense.
And it's the only true thing you can say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello?
Hello?
This is Marika calling from San Diego. And I'm a first-time caller on any kind of radio show. And I just wanted to let you know that I've been participating, however, with you guys for probably about 7 years, and I've done a lot of email classes, and I've done coaching, and I came to the monastery for a week during a year practice retreat. I only briefly spoke with you, Sherry, but I had a wonderful interview with Ashwini a couple of times. So anyway, I'm so...
Well, welcome.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. My heart is pounding a little bit. Mm-hmm. I wanted to talk about... There's so many things that I wanted to talk about, but I wanted to talk about how, as I've been on this journey for the last 7 years, I picked up recording and listening practice about 4 years ago. It was a very tricky time, and it was an amazing tool, and it became part of my day. And I would go for walks with my dog. And every day when I went for these walks, it was my opportunity to record and listen. Mm-hmm. And when my dog died a little over a year ago, I stopped recording and listening. I didn't have the structure. I didn't know where to put it in my life. And I think I had associated it with going on those walks with my dog. Mm-hmm. But all last year, I kept listening to the radio show and participating in different ways, and I kept on listening to the participants in the Joy, year-long Joy, Project Joy. And I kept on thinking that, I think I want to do, if they offered that year-long retreat. But when it came to the new year, I had it in the back of my mind, but there were so many conflicts, and I had a daily work call right at 9 o'clock, and I didn't know how I was going to make it happen. And then right at the last moment, the work call shifted to a 9:30 call. And I still have
the heading for this one is God is good.
Well, yes, exactly. And then I'm in this process right now that's just so amazingly supportive, because I start my day with the virtual meditation at 7 o'clock, and then somehow all of a sudden in my very busy life there's this cushion of sort of space in the morning, mm-hmm. and I
just set you up position you for to go into your life wide awake.
Yes, it's just so amazing. I just didn't think I would find the time for it. So everything opened up, and mm-hmm. I made a couple
Everything opened up, and you said yes.
And I said yes, yeah.
Right? Because that's the essential part. You know, life is always opening up avenues for us. But most of the time we're looking at ego, and ego is saying, no, that's not, you, right?
That's not possible.
You're saying yes. And so life opens up an avenue, and you take off down it.
Yes. So the exercises I've been able to do every day, I made a little promise to myself that I would commit to recording for 1 minute a day, because I just didn't know how to find more time than 1 minute a day. What I found is that when I actually go onto the recorder, and now I have these little moments between 7:30 and 9:30 when I can easily find that moment, it actually naturally unfolds to quite a bit longer than a minute, but my ego can't come in and tell me that I don't have time, because my commitment was only for 1 minute.
1 minute. Yep. Yeah. And again, it's opening up in front of you, isn't it? So it drops in. Just commit for a minute, and then what happens, of course, is that you get to see. Since you said yes to that, you get to see, oh, and here, and here, and here, and here. At some point, it's going to occur to you that, Well, you could take yourself for a walk. You could go for a walk with a mentor, right?
Yeah.
Well, one of the structures that happened was that I started going walk with my husband, which is a lovely thing to do, and it's not a private time for personal reflection. So,
right.
I just needed to find a different place, and it just all opened up, and it's wonderful.
I love it. Thank you so much. That's another inspiring story to start our day. Or, well, some people, of course, I always forget that. There are people, of course, who are having lunch with us, and there are people who are having tea with us. So it's not always starting the day, but it's inspiring wherever we are in our day. So thank you for that.
Thank you. I wanted to thank you for a small comment that you made yesterday, Sherry. I wrote it down in my book, and it was a really simple one, but you said, it's much better than we thought.
Uh-huh.
And my life is so good. My life is so much better than my brain thinks it is.
That's right. Yes,
an ego would ever admit it is, or even be able to see that it is, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
that's good. That's good.
Thank you, Ashwini.
Take care.
What do I do now? Do I have to do something to go back on mute, or
I'll mute you.
Okay, thank you.
That's a really good question.
That's only on the radio show, Marika, not in life.
Right? Okay. In life, we don't want to mute you.
Okay. There you go. Thank you. Oh, that was so fun, Sherry.
Mm-hmm.
So wonderful to hear from old friends.
Yes. Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just one of those places where life makes connections. Hearts make connections, and then hearts greet each other. I mean, it seems to happen so much in Sangha when we get somebody on the radio show who's been part of the Sangha for so long and then introduces themselves, or someone we haven't met for a while. And doing Gassho has become so special in that sense. You know, my heart and your heart are one.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. It's very real.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Here's our next caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, this is Sheldon from Providence. Thanks for having me here.
Pardon me?
Thanks for accepting my call. It's so great to be here. And, thank you.
Lovely to have you.
Thank you. So I'm brand new to this, and I am just so full of gratitude and just the opportunity to share and to accept the lessons and the teachings from this wonderful retreat, which I have never done before, and so I'm just loving every day of it so far. And I'm learning so much. I'm learning so much. And this last exercise was brilliant for me in the sense that it asked really, what am I doing? And the key word was now, that will lead to that. And it really, for me, it was a powerful moment. I had just, my family and I had just gone through some tragedy. A loved one had died in a very traumatic way. And it's just, there is no, in essence, what we are, what I'm doing now, is really it. And I hope 5 years from now does come, and I hope that it will be filled and manifest all that I set my intentions and heart on. However, it really does matter more, in essence, what I'm doing now. And am I present with what's happening right now? And it was just such a really nice reminder of that, because oftentimes I forget. And so I really did enjoy that, this exercise, for that reminder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because it we do forget. We get distracted. We get, you know, so much of life is set up for us not to be present. So being present is, it's really a full-time commitment that we don't always get to enjoy the fruits of. Right? We spend much more time being committed to being present than we spend being present. But your awareness is the critical one, which is there's only now. And we talk about that all the time. Everybody talks about that all the time, right? But it's not an easy one to get, even if we're good at things like physics and we can sort of go to how that is probably so. To have an experience of it is really different. And to have an experience of it such that we really can see that there is only now, there has only ever been now, and can extrapolate and kind of guess that there's only ever going to be now. So the best preparation we can have for the life that we choose is to learn to be here now.
Right.
Then if five years from now happens, it'll still be now, and you'll know how to be present for it.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. And being now is great because I can actually, you know, do what I want to do 5 years from now, here and now. And that was such a nice realization. Hopefully it stays, but, you know, the awareness of if I veer off from that is, I suspect, the crux of what we're learning in this exercise, this retreat. And,
you have faith that you'll be brought back.
Right, exactly. And the awareness of when I do lose track of that, seeing that, and, that's important, I suspect. Yeah,
and the key question for me, do you have a recording and listening practice?
Right, so...
funny I should ask.
I got a recorder. It's one of those things where I'm seeing how I procrastinate in doing something, and I've set aside the time to do it. I'm ready to do it, and I don't know what I'm waiting on. And so seeing myself in this process is really interesting, and frankly, I think I'm just afraid. I don't know of what yet, but I'm ready to do it. And I've already committed internally to doing it, and so I'm curious to see what happens.
Well, Sheldon, the great place to start would be with what you just told us, exactly what you described about your awareness of now and presence, because if you will do that, and you will listen to it periodically, you won't forget. Right? Which is the whole, I don't know if it's whole power, but it's a huge part of the power of recording and listening, because ego is going to work twice as hard now, at least twice as hard, to get you to forget what you've seen. And so with the recording and listening, we just record the insights, the awarenesses, staying away from the voices that want to criticize them, of course, but just, and I've seen this, and I realized this, and what's really important to me, and I want to focus on this, and then focusing on this, I realize this. You're telling that recorder the way you would tell us what you're seeing, what's coming to you, what's being clarified for you, and then increasingly you listen to that, and it makes it even more real in conscious awareness all the time.
Great. I look forward to that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And let me know, okay?
I will. Thanks, Sherry.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Sheldon.
Sherry, we have time for one more caller.
All right, great.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Marianne from Vancouver.
Hello. Hey, Marianne.
I'm just laughing because I thought, oh, gosh, I hope it's not me. sitting in the lineup is such a good exercise.
Yes, because you see both sides, which is what we've been talking about this morning, right? So obviously you want to be here, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because you're here, and it's not like, you know, somebody else called up and put you in the queue. So obviously your heart wants to be here, but ego really doesn't. Ego spends the whole time saying things like, oh, God, I don't want to do it. Not me, not me, not me, not me.
Yes, I've found this exercise very interesting. If I had seen this exercise book a few years ago, ego would have done the whole thing and had it perfect. So I've had quite a few different insights on, just looking at the process, how I normally would approach things, and then going, I see what that is. That's mm-hmm. just how ego takes over. Mm-hmm. So I put those insights right into the book, so that because I know ego will try and fool me and say, no, you didn't get that, really. You didn't really see that. You don't actually understand it.
Uh-huh. So you're doubling down, right? You're going to record and listen about it, and you're also going to put it in black and white or red and white or green and white or whatever, right?
Not just going to. I have been, and I am. So I record, but I also put my note in the book just to say, okay, here's the insight I've seen on this. Because it's so easy to lose some insights because the conditioning is so strong.
Yes, yeah. And with that, of course, if you ever had one of those days where the voices have gained a little ground and want to convince you that you've actually never seen anything, and you're probably in worse shape than you've ever been in your life, you can pick up this book and you can just start thumbing through it and read the insights and record about your awarenesses of that and really bring it into keeping it sort of in current time in your life.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've had some the major insight was around how I deal with chronic pain, and just seeing, okay, whenever I go into that space, that is ego, and okay, let's see if we can stop that. Can we just stop going there? So
let's have a different experience of that. Let's hear from somebody else, right?
Yes.
And it kind of takes us back to our first caller, right? That when we realize how much those voices are able to make us suffer over something, mm-hmm. and how committed we are to ending suffering, then even something like chronic pain can become our friend, because it brings us back to a realization of what those voices are doing to us moment by moment by moment if we are not interfering with them.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, the voices would say, oh, well, more than anything, If this pain were gone, everything would be all right. Everything. If only this pain were gone. And then we realize when the pain goes, all that happens is we become vulnerable to what those voices are doing with a different content.
Yeah. So it gets back to the daily reflections where you say, I am using everything in my experience to
yeah.
see how I cause myself to suffer so
yeah.
I can drop that.
Yeah, and in suffering. And boy, that's it.
Yes.
It helps us stay awake. And stay awake and choosing the human being.
And, yeah, so what I recognized was that, you know, I sort of slip up on losing loving kindness towards myself. So that was the other part of the insight was, oh, what I need to do is I have to really practice loving kindness at this moment.
Yes, for this human.
Yes, for this human.
One of the quotes that, for whatever reason, comes up a lot in conversations around my practice is the Gandhi quote about if you don't see God in the next person you meet, basically don't expect to find God.
Yes.
And what we, I think the greatest application for that is this human, right? This Sherry human, this Marianne human, right? We've got to learn to see God because that's the place from which we're going to project. And if we're not seeing divinity in our own lives, we're not going to be able to find it anywhere else.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So well,
I've got one person to save, and in your case, her name is Marianne.
Yes.
Right.
And
so you get to love her unconditionally.
I do. I did a recording about that this morning.
Good for you. Good for you.
Thank
yeah.
you so much,
yeah.
Harry and Ashwini. You know, you are such beacons of light.
Thank you. Mirroring back to one another, right? Light reflecting in all directions.
Yes.
That's right.
To all,
thanks,
people, Marianne. All beings in the Sangha.
Yes, yes, exactly. I just had a picture of that. Yeah, very nice.
Gusho.
All right, you take care. Okay, gusho.
Bye.
Thanks, Marianne. Well, Sherry, that brings us to the end of another delightful show, full of light.
Delightful, yes.
So our assignment for today is, what are you doing that will keep you from that? Where you want to be in 5 years.
Uh-huh.
Record and listen.
Uh-huh. So what are we doing now for that to be?
Mm-hmm.
And then what, how was it phrased again?
What are you doing now that will keep you from that? Record and
yeah.
listen.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, that's going to be good to see. Thank
mm-hmm.
you so much, Ashwini.
Thank you, Sherry.
Talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, everybody. Go happy.
Go happy. Gusho.